Today's daf is Kuf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph, and we start with Omer Rav Huna on the top of the Amud. Haminayer Taliso B'Shabbos. A person has a dusty cloak and he wants to shake out the dust. Is he allowed to do so? Rav Huna says Chayv Chatos. And this comes under what's called kibus, because you don't want to wear a garment that's dirty, and here he has dust on it. So by shaking out the dust, he violates Moleches kibus, which is a toldo of Moleches melaben, and he's chayav achatos. However, the Gemara is going to set up no less than three conditions. And only if all three conditions are met will he be chayav achatos. The first condition is lo amar an el b'chadati. We're talking about a brand new cloak. Amal batike, if it's relatively old, and here the poskim are going to have to deal what's considered atike, leslan ba. There's no prohibition at all in shaking out the dust. And this means that meleches kibus is a function of what's called kpeda. And we're going to have this over and over again throughout the daf, that if a person is very makpid, he wouldn't wear it in this way that it's full of dust. That's called malabin, when he shakes off the dust. But if on the other hand the dust doesn't bother him, he would wear it even without shaking out the dust. Okay, if everything's equal, he would shake out the dust, but that's not critical for him. He's not makpid. Is then leslan ba. There's no iser in shaking out the dust. And it would seem that this malacha belongs to that category of malachas on Shabbos which depend upon kpeda. To what extent are you makpid? And with regard to, for example, makavipatish, so you add something, is that really perfecting the utensil? Are you makpid? You may recall we had this in the laws of mikvos. When you go into the mikveh and there's something attached to your body, or if you put a kli into a mikveh and there's something attached to the kli, are you makpid? Are you not makpid? If you're makpid, it's a chatzitza. And we can talk about the concept of kpeda as being very critical in Shabbos. Now, the reason why Meleches Shabbos in particular, there's such an emphasis on kpeda, which seems to introduce a more subjective element into the equation, is because of something called Meleches Machsheves. Are you doing something that you need? It's critical, it's a specific and a professional kind of active labor. The second condition is V'lo Amarin El B'Uchmi. This only applies to dark garments, because dust, by contrast, will show up on dark garments. Aval b'chivare v'sumke, chivare milosha machvarta, which means white. If you have a white garment and the dust is also white in color, again, this won't apply if you have black soot on your white garment. Well, sumke is also a dark reddish color, so that the dust doesn't show up so much. People aren't makpid. It's leslan ba. There's no iser in shaking out the dust. So we need now two conditions to be fulfilled. It's got to be a brand new garment, and it has to be black in color, a dark in color. V'hu d'kapid alayu. And you have to add another condition. It could be that even if you buy a brand new beged and it's black, nevertheless, he's not makpid. Now, how do we know whether he's makpid or not? The criterion, the barometer, is going to be what would be during the week. Would he be willing to wear this garment during the week? If it's so filthy, if it's so dusty that he wouldn't wear it, he'd be embarrassed, that shows that he's makpid. and then if he would shake out that dust on Shabbos, he's chai mishum meleches malavim. If, on the other hand, during the week itself, even though it's a new garment, and even though it's dark, he doesn't care about the dust, he would wear it anyway, then it's not called a malach, there's no kpeda. So we need this third condition as well. It's got to be new, it's got to be dark in color, it's got to be something that he would be makpid on during the week. I don't know if you remember that we, not long ago, discussed Meleches Borer. And the question is he makpid on this psolus? You can have something called psolus that he's not makpid on. You remember we spoke about the sediments of wine, and it might have depended upon different seasons and whether he wants to market the wine and so forth. Sometimes he's not makpid at all. It's not psolus in his eyes. He can do with it as is. Another example in Hilchos Shabbos where Kpeda plays such a critical role. The Gemara now tells a story about Ula. Ula Ikla Lefum Pedisa. He came to this city and Chazar Abana de Kamenapze Glimayhu. He saw that the Rabbanan, the Talmidei Chachamim, was shaking out their garments. They were brand new garments. They were dark garments. And they were shaking out on Shabbos the dust from the garments. Amar Ula says, Kamachalin Rabbanan Shabsa? Could it be that the Rabbanan would violate the Shabbos? Are they so ignorant that they don't realize that this in a new garment that's dark in color, shaking out the dust, is a violation of Aleches Malamein? Amalahu Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda tries to calm down Ula. Don't worry. Nefotzi le bi'ape. They deliberately shook out the dust from their garment in your presence. They wanted you, Ula, to see this. Why? Te'anan lo kapdinan midi. Because here in Pupadisa, people are not careful about dust. It's a very dusty city, and there's dust here and dust there. It's all over the place. And people will wear these kind of garments even on a weekday without even shaking out the dust. We're not considered, people are makbid, we're not sensitive to the dust, and therefore this is not called Meleches Libud, and it's Mutar on Shabbos. Now, there are two ways of understanding why they, Bedafka, shook out their garments of the dust in front of Ula. After having established that they weren't makpid during the week, they would wear it even with the dust on in this city of Pumpadisa. One answer is they wanted to impress upon Ula that here in our locale, we're not makpid, and therefore it's mutar on Shabbos. They wanted to go out of their way to make sure that he understood that. The other approach, which is offered here by the Sfas Emes, is that the reason why they bedafka shook it out is because of covered Shabbos. Not because they would be embarrassed to wear such a garment with dust on it, but this was their way of adding an extra element of v'chibdehu, of honoring the Shabbos. Abaye Havi, another story, kokaime de Rav Yosef, he was kai in front of Rav Yosef, and Amalei Rav Yosef says to him, Havli kumsai, can you please pass me my hat? Chaza and Abaye, a Talmud of Rav Yosef, realizes the Ika Tala Ale, that somehow it was left out under the sky, and the dew, the morning dew, had settled on this hat. Havakamachasem, machasem means in Hebrew, mahases. He was inhibited, he was worried, he was vacillating back and forth, and lemaisfully to give it over to Rav Yosef, because he was afraid that Rav Yosef, without even thinking, would start shaking out the dew from the dust, from the hat, and that would be a violation of Meleches Libun. Amalei Rav Yosef says to him, Nefotz Shidi. Go ahead, Nefotz, meaning to shake it out, shadi, and throw off the dew. There's no iser here. Why? Danan lo kapdita midi. It doesn't bother me that there's some dew that rested on my hat. Again, the poskim are going to have to deal with this issue. When is it that you're makpid, when you're not makpid, when you're allowed to shake things off or not? And there are going to be nuances of differences. To what extent is it subjective? We're going to have issues in the poskim about someone who's more makpid with one hat than he is with another hat. He has certain hats that he uses, you know, for jostling around. He's not so makpid. Other hats, you know, he takes to wear to a wedding. Has to be spiffy. Om Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Yotze v'talas mekupelas u'munachas lo'al k'seifo v'shabes chayv chatos. If a person, after he wraps himself around with his talis, he folds up his talis, part of it goes in front of him, part of it goes behind him, and he walks out into Rishus HaRabim. Now, normally when you wear a cloak, it's considered Derech Malbush, but here, says Rabbi Yochanan, this is not Derech Malbush, to, you know, wrap it over his front and the other part over his back in a very unusual way. I mean, that's fine for Atifas Talis when you want to make the bracha. We have a din of Kiderach Yishmaelim, you know. But to walk out of Rishus HaRabim, nobody wears a garment in that way, where he folds the back in the front and the front into the back. And therefore, that's called carrying. That's masa, it's not malbush, and therefore he has to bring a chatos. The Gemara brings a brisa to support Rabbi Yochanan. Tanya Nami Hochi, Sochrei Ksus. Now, although it mentions Sochrei Ksus, you'll see soon that Sochrei Ksus means garment sellers. That's just a more common case, but it could apply to anyone. Hayotzim b'talisos mekupolos. If they walk out Rishus HaRabim with this folded talis, munachos al k'seifon. It's like you've ever seen the people before they make the bracha on the talis and stretch it out. They keep it folded over the shoulder. They check the tzitzis to make sure they can make a bracha on it. And if he walks out of Rishus HaRabim with his talis folded on his shoulder, is chayv chatos. And v'lo sochrei ksus bilvad omru. This is not a limited halach that applies exclusively to the garment sellers. It'll call ana. Any person who folds up his garment and keeps it on his shoulder, it's going to be chayv chatos. Elo shedarkon shel mochrim lotzeis kach. Since the sellers go out very often with that way, so the Mishnah, I'm sorry, the Braisa mentioned something that's more common. And therefore, this is considered derech masa. It's not a levush. He's not covering his body to warm it up. And here in this case, you have to keep in mind that even if the mochrei ksus will wear the garments during the week folded up on their shoulders, that's only in order to facilitate transporting the garments from place to place for sale purposes. But that doesn't make it derech malbush. And chenvani, the same thing applies to a money changer. Hayotze b'mos, hatzruv lo b'sdino. What he does is he has a little bit of a pocket in his garment, or sometimes even in his turban. He has a little bit of extra space where he wraps around some coins because he always has to have change. And chayv chatos, that's not called derech malbush. You can't tell me that wrapping up Mos into a pocket is considered wearing it. It means he's talking about a normal, common case, but it applies to anybody. Now we get to different customs in different communities. Haratanim, they came from a city called Ratan. Yotzim bisudarim Sha'al Kseifan. They're allowed to wear on Shabbos their garments that are folded on their shoulder. And this is different than anything we've seen before. And we'll try to understand this as we go along, because the Gemara goes even further. It says, Lo Ratanim Bilvad. Amru. This statement is not limited to the Ritanim. El Kol Adam, anybody could also go out in this way. El Shadarkon Shel Ritanim Lotzeis Bekach Bechol. And therefore, this is considered Derech Malbush. And here the Gemara is saying that since it's Derech Malbush for these people in those areas, then it's considered Derech Malbush for anyone. Now let me just read to you a footnote here on the side, and he says the following. He says that these garments that were folded on their shoulders were kerchiefs, right? Sudarim. And a kerchief was long but narrow, and it could be worn over the head, and since it's long, it would be draped over the back and the shoulders. And this was customary to wear a kerchief that was folded back, in which case the back was draped over the shoulders. So the difference between this Gemara that we're learning now and the previous Gemara, where you fold up a garment, a cloak that you wear around your body and you fold it up and put it on your shoulder, here we're talking about a kerchief and the back long part is hanging draped over his back. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Maisa Behurkenis Benoshel Rabbi Eliezer Ben Hurkenis. So the grandson and the grandfather had the same name. Yotza Besudar Shal Ksefo B'Shabbos. So he wore this turban and it was draped over his back on Shabbos. Ella, however, Shenima, Nima is a thread or a rope. Hayotzeis Measudar, I saw Kruchalo Be'emtza'o. Be'etzba'o. What happened was that this Rabbi Yehuda telling a story about Hurkanis is concerned about the possibility that the turban might fall off from his shoulder because it's resting on his shoulder, at least that part of the turban, and it might fall off. If it falls off while he's walking in Rosh Hashanah, he might be tempted to carry it for Amos. And therefore what he did was he made sure before Shabbos to tie down a chut to this turban, and he wrapped the end of the chut around his finger. And that would guarantee that it wouldn't fall off. When the Chachamim heard about this Maisa Amru, they declared, Afilu ein neima kruchalo betzpo. We're not afraid that it might fall off and he'll carry it. We don't require that he tie this extra rope to the turban. And Darash Rav Nachman, Bar Rav Chizda, Mishmeid Rav Chizda, Halacha, Afal Pishein Neima Kruchalo Betzbosav, he's allowed to wear this, and part of the turban will, as we said before, be draped over his shoulder, and he doesn't have to worry that it might fall off. Ula, story about Ula again, with regard to a folded up talis. Ikla, Lebei Asi Bar Hini. When he came to the house of Asi Bomine, they asked Ula the following question, Ma'u lasos marzev b'shabbos? Can he lift up the bottom of his garment, as we'll soon see, and make almost like a pocket around his garment by lifting it up and carrying it in that way? Amar lahu, hachi amar aviloi, asur lasos marzev b'shabbos. You're not allowed to make a marzev out of your talis. My marzev, what is this marzev? How would you even make such a thing? Amar abzera kisei bavlisa. In other words, in Bavel, they had this custom that they would lift up the bottom of their garments that were very long, and they would fold them up towards the top. And that part which they folded up towards the top, they would hold with certain strings, right, that were attached to the bottom of their garment. And once they folded it up, it looked like a kind of a pocket, which is a marzev. A marzev is a pocket. And they would do this in order to shorten the length of their talis. And the Gemara establishes that this is prohibited on Shabbos. This is called tikkun kli. Tikkun kli is a malach of makabe patish, when you fix up a kli. And here, since your beged is too long to wear as is, you have to fold it over and then tie it around. That whole process is considered tikkun kli. And that becomes on the makabe patish. That's why Rashi learns this sugya. Tosis learns this sugya, that the issue here is carrying in Rishus HaRav, that when he folds up the bottom of his garment, then it no longer is malbush, and in essence he's schlepping, he's carrying this garment through Rishus HaRav. Another story. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Yosef Kameid Rav Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyahu, in the presence of Rabbi Zera, he folded up his talis. Amaluhu Rabbi Yirmiyahu said to Rabbi Zera, Hachimai. So apparently the story happened on a weekday, and he asked him, what would be on Shabbos? On Shabbos itself, would I be allowed to fold up my garment in this way? And apparently the way he was folding it up, it was also making some sort of a pocket. And it might be tikkun kli amalei osu. So Rabbi Zera responded that you would not be allowed to do this on Shabbos. So now Rabbi Yirmiyahu comes back and he asks him a different question. He folds it in a slightly different way. He says, Hachimai, what about the way I just folded it now? And apparently I didn't make an obvious kiss, a pocket out of it. And nevertheless, amalei Rabbi Zera responded osu. Even that's considered something that's similar to a marzev, as we discussed before, and it's a pocket which violates the malacha of tikkun kli. Omarav Papa Nikodhai Klol Biotcha. So what exactly is the principle and the regulation that will govern all these different cases where he folds his talis? And he says the following. Asur Kol Da Daiti Lichnufe. If the way he folded his talis was, that's the way he really wants to permanently change his talis, that's also because that's tikkun kli. But chol dulis knows, if he folds it in a way that just for this moment it looks a little bit more attractive, the garment is shari, then it's mutter. That's not considered a tikkun mona, it's just a very temporary kind of thing. And any kippul, any folding up of your garment, lihisnos, in order to make it temporarily beautiful, it's still considered derech malbush, you're still wearing it, and you haven't changed the nature of the garment, so there's no tikkun mon. Kiha, the Gemara tells a story about Rav Shisha, braid Rav Idi misnor bisdino havi. Even during the week, he used to fold up his talis on his body, and his purpose was misnoy. Misnoy is the verb, the noun of which is noy. Noy means for to make it more attractive. So after he would wrap himself up in this talis, he would then fold up the talis to make it look more beautiful. And that's what he did during the weekday. And since it was a kippul lihisnos, he would be allowed to do that even on Shabbos. It wasn't a permanent change in the garment. It was just to make it look more attractive for that moment in time. Now the Gemara goes back to the issue of carrying in Rishus Aram a folded talis that's on his shoulder. Ki osa Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Omar, he said, Pamachas. He relates the following testimony. Yotza Rebbe Lissada. Rav Yudha Nasi and Eretz Yisrael went out to the fields. Vahoyu Shnei Tzidei Taliso Munachem Al Ksefo. And he put the two ends of his talis over his shoulder. And there were the basic garment itself, the talis, was mostly behind him, some part was before him, and he would put the two ends over his shoulder. Omar Lehu Yoshua ben Zeruz. Some say he had a different name, as we'll soon see. Ben Chamiv Shel Rabbi Meir. And he was the nephew of Rabbi Meir. Anyway, Bazu Lochiev Rabbi Meir Chatos. When Yoshua saw Rabbi folding up his talis over his shoulders, he says, wasn't this the case that Rabbi Meir says is Chayv Chatos? If you carry it, Brishus Rabbim, that's not called Derech Malbush. Amalei, so Rabbi responds to Yoshua, and he says to him, Digdek Rabbi Meir Ad Kan? Is it really true that Rabbi Meir would be Mechayev a Chatos? Even in this kind of situation, meaning Rebbe thought that it should be mutter to go out in Rishus HaRabim because it's only the sides of the talis that are over his shoulders. The rest of the talis is either covering the back of his body or, yeah, I guess you'd say the back of his body. So therefore, since, you know, Rebbe was so surprised by this testimony of Yoshua in the name of Uncle Rabbi Meir, so Shilshel Rebbe Taliso. So he immediately expanded his talis, the sides of the talis, took it off the shoulders, and he wanted to be Machmir because of Rabbi Meir based on the testimony of Yoshua. Kiyasa Ravin just wants to correct the statement, to whom do we attribute this statement? Ravin came for to Shulta Bavel, Omar, Lo Yoshua ben Zeruz Havi. The story here about someone who pointed out to Rebbe about his talis was not Yoshua ben Zeruz, but Ella Yoshua ben Kofosai Havi, who chasno shel Rabbi Akiva. So this Yoshua is not married, you know, into the Rabbi Meir's family, but rather married into Rabbi Akiva's family. Omar, and he tells Rebbe that Bazulo Chiev Rabbi Akiva Chatos. Just the opposite. The testimony to Rebbe that was given by Yoshua, different Yoshua, was that Rabbi Akiva felt that this is not a violation of Shabbos. Omar lo, so Rebbe responded, Digdek Rabbi Akiva Ad Kan. Are you telling me that Rabbi Akiva, I'm sorry, I read this wrong. There's a question mark here. I should have read it with a question mark. Omar, Yoshua ben Kfosoi says, Bazu lo chiev Rabbi Akiva chatos with a question mark. Isn't it so that Rabbi Akiva said that this is a violation of Shabbos? Omar lo, so Rabbi said, Digdek Rabbi Akiva ad kan, if Rabbi Akiva was so strict about it, then I'm going to have to accept Rabbi Akiva and Shilshel Rabbi Taliso, and he took the sides of his talis off his shoulders. Ki also Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda, when Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda came to Bavel Amar, Nishal Itmar. Okay, now I have here an entire explanation to these two words, Nishal Itmar. Klomar. Lokachaya Maisa Sherevi Atsmo Yotsu Vitalis Shetzideha Mikupolim Al Ktefo El Shalu. The transmission here is faulty. It wasn't that Rebbe went out with the talis and then he found out that either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Akiva held that it was a violation of Meleches Hotzah, but rather Rebbe was only interested in knowing what the halacha was. Would you be allowed to walk outside in such a way? Rebbe thought it was mutter. Rebbe thought that when you put the sides of your talis from the back over to the front, that's not considered mekupolim, that's not like a talis that's folded on your shoulder. And therefore, Rebbe thought that this was mutter, this is still called derech malbush, until he was notified that the Tana, whether it's Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Akiva, would be mechayev chatos, and Rebbe accepted that. And now we can start the Mishnah. The subject of this Mishnah is bathing. Are you allowed to bathe here, there, cold water, hot water? And also, are you allowed to dry yourself with a talis and carry the talis, again, not through Rishus HaRabim, obviously, but carry it in a place where you're allowed to carry it? Are we afraid that you might be tempted to squeeze out the liquid, the water that was absorbed in the towel? So we're learning now about bathing and towels. Bathing and drying. Harochets b'meima ara. If someone goes into the hot water in a place, ma'ara, that's literally a cave, an underground tunnel, and there is a roof on top. Or if he washes b'mei Tveria in the hot springs of Tveria, and Mei Tveria are a little bit different because they don't have a roof on top of it, and the Gemara later on is going to differentiate between a place that has a roof and a place that's under the sky. And then this topic, he dries himself off. Afilu bi esar aluntios, even with 10 different towels, one after the other. He keeps drying himself. You know, there's still a little bit of moisture in his body. And basically, every single one of these 10 towels has absorbed a very limited amount of water. Lo yaviem biyado. Even though there's such a small amount of water, which you would say there's so little water absorbed in the towels that in the towel, who says he's going to come lead a schita? Nevertheless, the Mishnah prohibits it. But that's again biyado because there's one individual who is carrying these aluntios, these towels. Avo asara b'nei adam. What happens if you have 10 people that came out of the mikvah, or out of the Mei Tveria, wherever they were, and they're all wet? Umistapkim bealuntis achas, pneim yedeim vragleim. This is before Corona. So they share one towel. And 10 people dry themselves off with one towel, their faces, their hands, their legs, mevi'in osan b'yadam. The Mishnah allows them, since they're a group of 10, to carry this one single talis that's absolutely absorbed with water. You can imagine how wet it is. And we're not afraid that they might come to squeeze out the significant amount of liquids absorbed in the talis, because there are 10 people in each one is going to remind the other one. And they won't be afraid, and we have no fear that they might come to Schita. Again, the question is, well, why does the Mishnah say 10 people? Does it have to be 10 people? And the Rashba says, no, it's enough if it's 2 people. If it's 2 people washing, drying themselves with one talis, they can carry that talis together back into the house, because one will remind the other not to squeeze it out. Now we get to the question of anointing one's body with oil on Shabbos. Sochin, you're allowed to anoint the body with oil. Umemashmashin, and you're even allowed to rub the oil into your body in order to enjoy the pleasure of the oil in your body. Have a lo misamlin, but you shouldn't do it with a great deal of effort and energy, because that becomes derech chol, uvda de chol. You remember, we don't want to have too much exertion on Shabbos. Shabbos is the day of Menucha. Velo misgarin, and they used to have a certain kind of almost like a little bit of a shovel that they should use to scratch the body, and that's already going too far. That's already uvda de chol. V'ein yordin l'kardima, and we don't bathe in the river called Kardima. And the Gemara is going to try to explain why Kardima is excluded. V'ein osin apiktirizin, which was a kind of a concoction that you took if you wanted to vomit forth. It induced vomit. And we don't want to do that because either it's going to upset your Shabbos, or it might be similar to refuah. But even if he's doing it for other purposes, he wants to eat more, so he wants to empty his body, right, some sort of orgiastic eating, is we have to leave that out on Shabbos. We don't want to vomit on Shabbos. When a baby is born, very often his bones have to be aligned, and there was a certain kind of a well-known medicinal procedure or therapy in order to make sure that his bones are put into place. The Gemara is going to tell us that this is a tolda meleches bone. Again, there's no danger, obviously, to the baby. V'ein machzirnes hashever, if a person has a bone that is a little bit out of place, and there's a certain refuah, a certain therapeutic method, a certain kind of a massage, is that comes under the general Isur Refua, that's prohibited on Shabbos because of Gzeiras Shchikas Samamonim. And again, we're gonna talk about the fact that this is not in any way a danger situation. Misha Nifrika Yodo Viraglo, if on the other hand his hand is out of place, or his leg is, then Lo Yitzrafein Bitsonen, right, he shouldn't be using a kind of rubbing with water, cold water. Again, that's also refuah. Avol rochitzu kedarko. But if instead of dipping his particular part of the body, that organ, in and of itself, he dips his entire body into water, and that's not muchach, it's not nikar, it's not clear that he's doing it as refuah, he's allowed to do that in Nisrapi, as we've discussed on many occasions. Refuah is also b'shabbos, but only if it's obvious that it's l'shem refuah. Okay. Now we're up to the Gemara. The Gemara says, "K'tani." We learned in our Mishnah, "Mei ma'ora dumya demei tveria." In other words, when the Mishnah allows you to wash in Mei Ma'ara, it brings that in one breath with Mei Tveria, with the hot springs of Tveria. And it seems that they're both very similar, therefore. Ma Mei Tveria, Dumya de Mei Tveria, Ma Mei Tveria, Chamin. Even though it's hot water, you're allowed to bathe in Mei Tveria. Af Mei Ma'ara, even in this cave that has a pool in it, you're allowed to wash yourself with Chamin. Now, is this allowed l'chatchila? Well, the Gemara says harochets. The Gemara says if he bathed himself, then he's allowed to dry himself with a towel and carry the towel under certain circumstances. The implication is b'di'evet. What happens if he bathed in hot water? In. Then it's only permissible b'di'evet to dry yourself, etc. But l'chatchila lo, to go into hot water and bathe yourself on Shabbos, that's prohibited. And this is part of the general prohibition of bathing in hot water on Shabbos, which is a sugya way back in Perkira. You may recall that we discussed the Balanim, and we're going to have a little bit more of a discussion about the Balanim. Those are the people who are in charge of the bathhouses, and they would heat the bathhouses, and sometimes they weren't so kosher yosher, they even heated it on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah's talk about bathing. And we distinguish between bathing and showering. In bathing, the body is submerged into water. In showering, the water comes from on top. So the Gemara is medayik. Michlal, and here we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Omid Beis. Dilish Tatev, to take a shower, even though it's called gufo, and even though it's hot water, afilu chatchilu shapir dome. We're going to say the following, that the Mishnah, by implying that l'chatchilu you're not allowed to take a bath, is implying that that's because it's a bath, and the Rabbanon instituted an injunction against bathing, but showering is not called rechitza. And that would be mutter even l'chatchilu. So imagine we have now one shita, it's interesting, that will allow taking a hot shower on Shabbos.
The Gemara says, Mani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon he. Tisanya, we learned in a Brisa, Yishtatef Odom, Bein Bechamin, Bein Betzon, and Divrei Rabbi Meir. We have a three-way machlokas that's recorded in this Brisa. According to Rabbi Meir, the most extreme Shita L'chumra, you're not allowed to take any shower, not a cold shower, not a hot shower. All this is prohibited on Shabbos. In the case of a hot shower, this comes under the general prohibition of taking showers because we're afraid they may heat up the water on Shabbos. And in the case of cold water, that's called Maris Ayin. That somebody who sees that he walks out from this shower and his body is full of, in this case, cold water, but they don't know that it's cold water. They're suspecting him of having taken a hot shower on Shabbos. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, it comes under Maris Ayin. That's the Shita of... of Rabbi Meir. Now we have the other polar extreme sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and he says mutter. He was matir taking a shower on Shabbos, and he held that showering is not to be equated with bathing, and we're not afraid that he might heat up the water, so he can take a hot shower on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bechamin Osur Betzonei Mutter. Rabbi Yehuda in the middle of the road, Shita, he's not going to allow you to take a hot shower, but he will allow you to take a cold shower. Again, in the poskim, it's very unclear whether or not we could rely on Rabbi Shimon. In general, we accept more or less the view of Rabbi Yehuda, but even here we're more machmir, and we don't allow you to take a cold shower in which the water will cover your entire body, but maybe adding cold water to different parts of the body individually, that's already a different story. Now we get back to the case of the issue of drying yourself. So the Mishnah tells us that if you bathed, is nistapik afil b'yeser aluntios, even if one person dries himself with 10 different towels, he's not allowed to bring these towels back to his house. And then the Mishnah says, but if it's 10 people, and even if they shared one towel to dry themselves, the towel is literally saturated with water, they're allowed to carry it back home. And the Gemara just explains this. I mean, we had this because we knew this Gemara. Reisha Rabusa Kamashmalan Vesefer Rabusa Kamashmalan. There's a chiddush here in both the reisha. Reisha Rabusa Kamash, the chiddush of the reisha is dafilu hani dolo nefishi bu mayim. Even though one person dried himself in ten towels, how much water is there? And the suspicion that maybe he'll come to schita seems to be very limited. But nevertheless, came into chadu, he's alone. No one will remind him, hey buddy, make sure you don't squeeze out any water. Asili de schita, he might come to violate schita. But Sefer Abusa Kamashman, Dafilu Hani Dinafisha Bumaya, even though this towel is literally saturated, soaking with water, because 10 people have dried themselves with one towel, but came into Rabin Ninhu, since they're doing this in a group situation, we're not afraid that one person would get confused and come to Yischita. Ma'at Kiriya Dodi, they'll remind one to the other. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Brisa. Mistapik Odom Baluntis. Let's say a person goes into a bathhouse and he is one person using one towel. He's not allowed to bring that towel home. So what he's allowed to do is he can put the towel, he's allowed to leave it on a window. But this Brisa wants to tell us, lo yim serena la'ol yarin. The ol yarin were the balonim that we spoke about, who were in charge of setting up and supervising the bathhouse. and don't give your talis after you your towel. I keep saying talis because we learned about a talis before, but I mean a towel. So from now to the end of the shiur, if I ever use the word talis, it means a towel. And don't give your towel over to the person in charge of the bathhouse. We're afraid of these balonim, that they might squeeze out the water on Shabbos. As we said before, the balonim were not trusted. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mistapek baluntis achas, umevia biyodo lesoch beso. Rabbi Shimon says that even if he dried himself, he's one person, after he bathed, and the talus is now saturated with water, he's still allowed to take it home, and we're not afraid it'll come to you. They schit against the Tan of our Mishnah. Omalei Abayla Rav Yosef Hilta Samai, how do we paskin in this machlokas between our Mishnah and Rav Shimon in the Braisa? And the Gemara answers, Omalei, Rav Yosef responds to Abay, Ha, Rabbi Shimon, Ha, Rebbe, V'ha Shmuel, V'ha Rav Yochanan. He says there are four personalities, giants, that all came to the same conclusion, that even one person is allowed to dry himself and carry his talis back to his house. And who are these four? Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Hodamaran. We've already quoted Rabbi Shimon from the Brice. Rebbe. How do we know that Rebbe agrees to Rabbi Shimon and he allows this? The sign you have a Brice on the Rebbe. Kishahayinu lemeidim Torah or Rabbi Shimon biskoa. There's a whole interesting archaeology about this place called Tekoa. And when we studied Torah at the feet of Rav Shimon in Tekoa, Yinu Malim Shemen Valuntis Michotza Lagag Migag Lekarpav. We would carry oil to anoint ourselves and a towel to dry ourselves, and we took it from one courtyard to a rooftop, from a rooftop to an open plot of land, and all these areas were surrounded by mechitzos, and therefore there was no problem of otzah. At shayinu magim etzol mayon, shayinu roch tzimbo. And outside of Tekoa, there was a spring, and that's where we would bathe ourselves. And after we bathe ourselves, we would anoint ourselves in oil. And the Gemara assumes that if this is what Rebbe's testifying about what they did in Tekoa, not only did they do this in one direction on the way to the spring, but they also brought everything back and the towel back into their homes. Because to leave it out there in the spring, you know, near the spring of water would be, that's not a good idea. You won't find your towel there tomorrow. Shmuel, how do we know that Shmuel agrees with this? Diomar Rav Yehuda Meshmuel Mestapik Odom Aluntis Mevia Vesof Beso Viyado Vesof Beso. He says it explicitly. And Rav Yochanan, Diomar Rav Chiya Bar Abba Rav Yochanan, Locha Mestapik Odom Aluntis Umevia Viyado Vesof Beso. So we have four different giants that all agreed that you're allowed, even though you're alone, you're only one person, to carry back your towel after you dried yourself back to your house. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, how are you going to reconcile that statement of Rabbi Yochanan with another statement? Vamar Rabbi Yochanan Locha Kistam Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, it's an anonymous Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan has a general principle that we always paskel Allah like a Stam Mishnah. Usnan, and it says in our Mishnah, Mistapek, if he dries himself, afil b'eser aluntios, even if he uses 10 different towels, lo yavim b'yodo. And the Gemara answers, ha-hu kiven chachinai masnile. Rabbi Yochanan had a different text in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah did not mention any name, and it was presented as an anonymous Mishnah, but in Rabbi Yochanan's text of the Mishnah, the statement of the Iser carrying the Aluntis was attributed specifically and explicitly to Ben Chachinoi, and therefore it's not a Stam Mishnah, it's a Das Yochid, it's an individual opinion, and we don't accept it. Om Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Om Rav Yochanan, ha'olion mevim balore noshim. So again, we're back to those who are in charge of the bathhouse. And Rabbi Yochanan allows them to carry certain kinds of draped sheets that were used for drying the body, and they would carry it by wearing it. Lebei Bonai, to the Beis HaMerchatz, and they went through Rishus HaRabim. And this is the way they brought these Sdinim back to the Beis HaMerchatz, and it was for the women used to use these Sdinim to dry themselves. However, Rabbi Yochanan stipulates that Ubilvachi is Kasib and Rosho Verubon. He has to be sure that when he takes these Sdinim and he's wearing them through Rosh Hashanah, he has to cover his head and his body to make sure, guarantee it's Derech Malbush. And by the way, this is not something that's limited to the Balonim. Balonim would classically do this, but anybody is allowed to do this. Sachnisa, this is already a very large kind of a turban that they would cover their heads with, and the sides of the turban were draped over the shoulders. Om Rabbi Ovin bar Rav Chizna Rabbi Yochanan tzorch lekasher shnei rosheim lemata. Here, Rabbi Yochanan is machmir. Earlier we saw kula on this, but now Rabbi Yochanan is machmir. He says you have to tie the ends together on the bottom to make sure that it wouldn't fall from his head while he's wearing it in Rosh Hashanah, because he might come to carry it in Rosh Hashanah. Yom Rav Chiyah bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan lemata mikseifayim. He should tie it below the shoulders, right? Because again, this sudar drapes, and that's where he should tie it. Omalu Rava l'bnei Mechoza, he instructed the members of his local city, Kibabrisu Mone l'bnei Chela, that when the soldiers of the king would stay in Mechoza, and they were required to supply not only food, but also clothing for the soldiers, the king's soldiers. And the problem was that they would have to bring and carry these bgadim through Rosh Hashanah. He says, Sharbivu Bahu Lemata Mikseifayim, that you should wear them and not carry them, and make sure that these garments will actually cover you below the shoulders. But let's just get a little note on this. And we have the following note. He says that when a person dries himself with a towel, he's allowed to leave the towel in the bathhouse window. He shouldn't give it to the attendants in the bathhouse, because they are suspect to wringing the towels out on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon allows you to dry yourself with only one towel. And we brought a whole list of shittos that agree with that opinion. Then the Gemara says that in the case of a schanita, now he has a footnote, he says it's a kerchief, it was wrapped over the head, and they would very often wear it when they left the bathhouse, okay, because their hair was wet. But the requirement was that the two ends which hang down over the shoulders should be tied together, and this is done to prevent the garment from falling off, as we said earlier. When the Gentile troops were stationed in town, the local residents were pressed to the service, and this involved bringing soldiers' clothing to them through a public domain. So Rabbi told them that if they're required to do so on Shabbos, they should not carry the clothing folded back on their shoulders, but rather they should don the cloaks as if they were wearing them, and let the ends of the garment hang down below their shoulders. Amalei Rav, yeah, fine. Now, Sachin u Meshamshimin, mishamshim, you're allowed to anoint your body with oil, and you could rub it into your body. Tanu Rabbanan, sochin umishamshin v'bnei me'ayim b'shabbos. You would be allowed to anoint your belly on Shabbos. Milvad shel yaseh kedesh also b'chol. But there's got to be some difference between the way he's doing it on Shabbos and the way he does it on Chol, because otherwise it's uvdon de Chol. Hechi Ovid, here we have Machlokes. How does he make a change to distinguish between the way he anoints himself on Shabbos and the way he would do it during the week? According to Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, it's a matter of sequence. And we should change the sequence on Shabbos. First, he should pour the oil, and then he should rub it into his body. Because apparently, during Chol, he would want to warm up his body first, and then pour the oil on. So here he makes a switch, and that's Rabbi Chama. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Soch umimashmesh bevas achas. Instead of doing it in sequence, the way he does it during the week, he should actually take one hand and pour the oil while he is rubbing his body with the other hand. Because Rabbi Yochanan wants a more drastic, a more radical shinui, a change, to distinguish it from the way he does it during the week. The Mishnah says, Avalo misamlin, when he massages his body, he shouldn't do it aggressively. Omer Abchia Bar Abba, Omer Ab Yochanan Osur Lamod Bekarka Isa Shel Diomtsas. Again, this was a river that was very salty, and we don't want you standing in a way that your feet will be in contact with the bottom ground level of this river. Meles Umerape Es Haguf. It warms up the body and it is therapeutic because of the salty nature of the bottom of this river, the bottom bed of the river. And we don't do therapy on Shabbos. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Kol Yomer Shel Diomas. It's not true that the Diomas River is therapeutic during the entire year, Diomsas, but rather Esrim V'Echad Yom. There are 21 days out of the year when this river is so saturated with salt, and Chag HaShavuos is one of those days. So does he mean you count the 21 days starting with Atzeres, moving into the summer, or you start earlier and you count 21 days until you reach Atzeres? And the Gemara wants to determine this by quoting Shmuel. Toshma di Omer Shmuel kulu she shakyone, meaning mashkim or shakyone, any kinds of therapeutic liquids or beverages, mi divcha viaratzarta malu, from Pesach until Chag HaTzeres, these are healthy for the body. And the Gemara wants to equate that with washing or bathing in this river called Diomsas. And it seems that Chag HaTzeres is at the end of this period of time. So it makes sense to say that the 21 days that we spoke about earlier in the name of Rav will begin before Shavuos and end on Shavuos. The Gemara says, no, that's no proof from Shmuel at all. Dilma Hosam hu dekama dekarir alma ma'alya. That it could be that when he drinks these beverages for therapeutic purposes, the cool air is very helpful very healthy for the body, and it's more therapeutic, and therefore he doesn't want to go into the summer months when it's heavy, hot and heavy. He wants to do it when it's a little bit cooler. Aval hacha, but in the case of the salty river, Havlahu came under Chamim Alma Tvei Ma'alya. The therapeutic element here is dafka the heat of the water, and therefore we should start from Shavuos and count 21 days beyond Shavuos when the weather is hot, and therefore the water will be more therapeutic in this river. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Chamra de Progisa. So Chamra is wine, and this wine, which was very special wine, came from a country called Progisa. Okay. And not only that, Maya de Diomsas, that we spoke about before, from those springs in that hotbed, is Kipchu. Es Aseres HaShvatim Yisrael. Now, we're not really so familiar with the sociology here, but apparently the influence of wine and bathing is so powerful that people get so carried away with it. It becomes a culture, and people are so nimshach achar yayin verachitza that they gave up the study of Torah, and at the end they went off the derech. That's called kipchu. Now the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel were exiled by Ashur. They were lost from the Jewish people. The Gemara says, what sin precipitated their exile, and why were they cut off? They were excessively involved in pleasure seeking. And this was the wine of Prugisa and the water of Diomsis. Again, the question is whether this all has to be taken exactly literally, or there may be metaphoric symbols here. And now the Gemara tells us the sad story of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, but don't worry, it has a happy ending. Ikla lahasam, he found himself in Prugisa and in Diomis, Imshich Basrayu, became so involved in these worldly pleasures that Yaker Talmude, he just forgot his learning. Ki hada, when he returned home, Asa kam lemikri b'sifra, they gave him an aliyah, and when he read the Torah, Boy Lemikri, he was supposed to read Achodesh Azelachem in Parshas Bo. Instead, he read Hachiresh Hoyal Limam. Was their heart silent? Okay? And this is symbolic of the fact that his heart was silent of Torah. He had forgotten his Torah. Bo Rabban Rachme Alei, the rabbis prayed on his behalf. Vehodar Talmude, and he was able to remember his Torah. Haidu Desnan, and this story about Rabbi Elazar ben Arach illustrates what we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Avos. Rav Noroi Omer, Havi Golo Makom Torah, make sure that you always find yourself in a place of Torah. Al Tomar, don't think Shehi Tovo Acharecha, that the Torah will come after you and Talmidim will come after you. They'll see you're there, then they'll come to live with you. Shechavirecha Yikaimu Biodecha V'el Binoscha Al Tishan. Your colleagues will cause it to remain with you. In other words, they won't necessarily join you. So Rabbi Elazar ben Arach went to wherever he went, and the Rabbanan didn't follow him. So he was left alone. And he would have to rely on his own understanding, and the Mishnah says that's not a good idea. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Lo Rabbi Nohoroi Shmo, his name was not Rabbi Nohoroi, Ella Rab Nechemia Shmo. So the author of that Mishnah in Avos was none other than Rab Nechemia. Amrile, according to other traditions, it was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach Shmo, was he himself. And therefore what he was formulating, he was presenting a rule based on his own life experience. Lo Menikra Shmo Rabbi Nohoroi. So whatever his real name is, why was he given this nickname, Nehoroi, Shemanir Enei Chachamim Balocha? He would illuminate the eyes of the Chachamim in Halacha. The Mishnah says, Avalom is Garin, we don't scrape the skin on Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanu learned in a Braisa, Ein Gorin B'Migreres B'Shabbos, we don't scrape the skin with a certain kli, a certain special utensil that they use, it's called a strigil. On Shabbos, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Im Hoy Raglov Muluchlochos Petitu Bitsoa Gorer Kedarko Venu Choshesh. If his legs are dirty with mud or with excrement, he's allowed to scrape his skin as he would during the weekday, and he shouldn't be concerned about violating any sort of uvdin d'chol. So if during the week he would perform this act of scraping in order to provide physical relief, that's already uvdin d'chol. However, if he's scraping his skin to remove mud or excrement, he's cleansing himself for a different purpose, and scraping no longer qualifies as uvdu d'chol. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, avdalei ime migrararta dekaspa, his mother made for him a silver strigil, and it was especially used on Shabbos. Because it was used on Shabbos, when he used it to scrape it, it's not considered uvdu d'chol. The Mishnah tells us that Ein Yardin leKurdima, he doesn't go down to the river called Kurdima, Maitaima, why not Mishumpika? Because we're afraid of slipping. Now the banks of these rivers were very slippery. He could fall, he might soak his clothes, he might be tempted to wring out his clothes, which would be a violation of Meleches Schita. Ein Osinapika Afik to reason the Shabbos, this emetic to make him barf. Omer Rabbi Barva Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shonel V'Sam. This is an herb that induces vomiting. Avol Biyad Mutter. If he puts his hand inside his throat in order to make himself regurgitate, that's allowed. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Nechemi Omer Af Bechol Osur Mipnei Hefsed Ochlin. You're not allowed to force yourself to vomit even during the week because you are wasting food. And basically, this might come under Bechukoseim because in pagan culture, this was the practice to induce vomiting in order to eat gluttonously so they could even more and more. That's considered a waste of food and it's forbidden. And the Ramban points out, this is a violation of Kedoshim Tiyu. We are a holy people. If, on the other hand, he does it to relieve a discomfort because he overate, that would be permissible during the week, but on Shabbos it's a real problem. Although, it seems to be mut if he does it biyad. Ein ma'atzvin es hakatan, he doesn't straighten out the limbs of an infant, Omer Rabbi Rachanan Rabbi Yochanan Liflufe Lapufe Gyunuka V'Shabbos Shapridomi, to wrap the child on Shabbos is permissible. So the infant's bones are soft, sometimes they're bent because of the contractions during childbirth, and they would swaddle the infant tightly in cloths, secure them with a belt, straighten the bent limbs, and that was mutter on Shabbos. The Mishnah says we don't straighten the limbs of an infant. Hasam bechumre shidra. There we're talking about a special kind of a procedure which is called aligning the spinal vertebrae. And the Mishnah prohibits this because if the vertebrae slipped from the proper place in the spine, if it's not an emergency, this is a procedure that should wait until after Shabbos. And the Mechse Kibona, the reason why this procedure is prohibited is because it's similar to Meleches Bona. And we've mentioned in the past, and it pays to reiterate this, that there is an Iser Binyan Begufo Shel Adam based on the Pasuk with regard to the creation of Chava, that it says Vayiven, Ein Machzir Nesashever, we don't set a broken bone, Omer Abchana Bagdosa, Omer Shmuel, here we turn to Daf Kuf Mem Ches, Halacha Machzirin Es Hashever, Halacha, we're allowed to reset a bone, a broken bone, against the Mishnah. And the permission is based on the fact that a broken bone would endanger the entire limb. That's called Sakonis Eiver. And we're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Rabba Barbachona Iklola from Pedisa. He came to Pedisa from Eretz Yisrael. and he made the following comment. He says, Lo al lepirke de Rabbi Yehuda. I did not attend the shir of Rabbi Yehuda, who was the Rosh Shiva at that time. And Shadre li adadayla. And I wanted to draw his presence, meaning Rabbi Yehuda wanted to get Rav Ada to help him get Rabbi Bar Bachana to attend the lecture. So he sends Ada to Rabbi Bar Bachana, Malei Zil Garbe, go and tell him that, I'm sorry, go and confiscate Zil to grab his garbe, his cloak, and don't give it back to him until he comes to join the shir. So Rav Yehuda had such a desire that Rabbi Bar Bachana would attend his lecture. He was such a prominent scholar from Eretz Yisrael that Rav Yehuda wished to hear from him what the scholars of Eretz Yisrael had to say about the subject that he was teaching, that they were studying in the yeshiva. Ozel garbe, and he stole his cloak. So Rabbi Bar Bachana came to hear the shir, and Rabbi Yehuda was expounding that which we learned in our Mishnah, you don't set a broken bone on Shabbos. Omar Lay, when Rabbi heard this, he said to Rabbi Yehuda, Hachi Omar Rav Chana, Bagdosa Omar Shmuel, Alocha Machzirin Es HaShever. We do indeed set a broken bone on Shabbos. Omar Lay, Rabbi Yehuda replied, Chana didan v'Shmuel didan. Chana is ours, Shmuel is ours. They are both here in Bavel, v'lo Shmueli, and yet I never heard this. V'la bedina garbitich. It's not right. Or was it right? Was it not right that I took your garment and I confiscated it? And what he's basically saying in a rhetorical question is that had you not come, I wouldn't have learnt this from you. So it was very important that I, in a sense, compelled you to come. Misha nifrika yodo, if his hand or his foot became dislocated, he may not massage it in cold water, but he could wash his entire body. Rav Avya havi Yosef kami de Rav Yosef, shanyole yedei. Okay, now we're talking about Shabbos. Rav Avya's hand had become dislocated, and he wanted to determine what kind of therapy might be permitted on Shabbos. Omar lay, and he demonstrated in front of Rav Yosef various therapeutic practices. Hochamai, is this allowed? And Rav Yosef said, Osir. Hochamai, is this practice allowed? Omar lay, Osir. Adahochi, Itpach Yode. While he was performing all these demonstrations, Rav Avya's hand became healed. Omalei, Rav Yosef said to him, Mighty Boiloch, what had been your question? In other words, what had you even thought that such a therapy might be permitted? Hotnan, in the Mishnah says, Mishanifiko Yodo Raglo, Lo Yitrefem Bitsonen, Amarochets Kedarkovim Nisrapi Nisrape. In any event, we see clearly from our Mishnah that washing the hands with that particular aver that was dislocated is prohibited because of refuah. And therefore, since the Mishnah indicates that these types of therapies is forbidden, so why Rav Avya, why are you asking these questions? And Rav Yosef was asking him, why were you, Rav Avya, inquiring as to the permissibility of therapy when the Mishnah clearly states it's forbidden? Omalesa, Rav Avya, to justify his question, says, Velo Tanan, but in the very same Mishnah it says, Eimachziris Hashever, we don't set a broken bone, V'yomer Rav Chama, but nevertheless, Rav Chana Bagdesah said in the name of Shmuel, that Alocha Machziris Hashever, that in fact against that Mishnah we're allowed to set a broken bone. Amalei, Rav Yosef replies, Kulu bechada mechita machtinu? Have you woven all the parts of the garment into the same weave? Certainly not. There's no equation here. There's no analogy. Heichad itmar itmar, heichad lo itmar lo itmar. You know, where we had that emendation on the Mishnah, it was stated, and we'll accept it. But if it wasn't stated, then we don't have any right to presume it. So again, although the Mishnah rules that massaging a dislocated bone in cold water is forbidden, we paskin la'alocha in Shulchan Aruch that if you manually reset the dislocated bone in a joint, that's permissible. And the Mishnah Berurah explains by suggesting that that massaging is prohibited only when the dislocation is a minor one, but when the dislocation is complete, it is permissible even to reset the bone, since if you don't do so, that could endanger the entire limb. Hadron Alecha Perkhovis. And now we're going to start Bezer Hashem, the 22nd Perek of Shabbos, which is Perek Shoah.